You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And we are joined this morning by Te Aorangi Murphy Fell. We're going to be talking about a new book that they co-authored with Hona Black called Ngā Hapa Reo. Morena, Te Aorangi, how you doing?
Morena, Zach. You know, fantastic. Nice to join you this morning.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. You're in Whakatane. I hear things are pretty bright and bubbly there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess just before we get into our to our chat, I just wanted to acknowledge the passing of King Ituhaetia. And, you know, today's the day where we find out who the new monarch's going to be for Māori, you know, on behalf of Māoridom. So I just wanted to acknowledge that kaupapa. And I understand, you know, it's not ideal having, you know, releasing a book at a time when a kaupapa like this is going on, but, you know, we weren't able to do anything about that. So, just like to acknowledge that kaupapa and what's going on in Ngārua Wāhia before we get into our chat. But, yeah, lovely day here in Whakatane. Thank you very much.
Indeed, moi mai rā to King Ituhaetia. But, yeah, it is it's something that's out of your control. You know, you couldn't control when the book came out, and it seems to be a pretty surprising passing, so nothing we can do about that. But yeah, so things are good up in Whakatane?
Yeah, no, they're fantastic, actually. Lovely day up here. About as far away from Dunedin as you can actually get in New Zealand, apart from going right up north. But yeah, no, lovely day.
Nice, man, nice. It's pretty swell here in Dunedin, which is real nice. It's real bright and bubbly. But anyway, we're going to be talking about this book, Ngā Hapa Reo, which is all about errors in te reo, whether they be grammatical or word errors. What was the largest te reo error that you that made you realise that this book kind of needs to exist?
I think the impetus for this book were actually errors that originated from the influence of the English language. And quite often learners of te reo Māori, when learning a new language, such as te reo Māori, you know, they'll often be learning the language as a second or even a third language. And so often we transfer the rules and the patterns and the systems of our native language, which is often English, to te reo Māori, which can often lead to errors. And this is known as language interference. And so Hona and I, my co-author, it's been quite a commonplace for the last kind of 10-20 years that we've progressively seen more and more Māori sentences that are following English systems, and really they're English sentences that just have Māori words in them. And so I guess that was really the impetus for this book, because it's been quite a fascinating area of study more recently. However, in saying that, having delved deeper into the topic, we also identified that, you know, grammatical errors were a large portion of the errors that people make in everyday language, right from those who are just starting on their language journeys through to those who are more, you know, we would consider more fluent speakers. And then I guess the final area what was the use of, and as you mentioned earlier, was in the use of words. And that's where we might use, in, you know, a word and one that's meant to be for one context in the context that it's not applied or not applicable to. And so, yeah, I guess we decided to put it all down in a resource in the hope that, you know, those who are even just starting out on their Māori language journeys are able to pick it up and are able to learn it in the correct way straight away, rather than having to learn it one way and then having to unlearn it and going down another path. So that's what we try to achieve anyway.
It does feel harder to unlearn things than to learn new ones. I mean, that's definitely...
Absolutely. You know, and that's been something that's been highlighted to us actually, and through, you know, a lot of the, you know, there's been a bit of bit of chat going on via, you know, on social media such as Instagram and Facebook, and, you know, we're getting a whole lot of people putting down chats saying, oh, that's not how I've ever been taught, and it's actually harder to unlearn it and to try and say it in a different way, because it's, you know, I've been saying it this way for the last however long. So we've tried to put it out there anyway, particularly to target newer learners of the language, to say, hey, you know, these are probably more applicable and more relevant contexts in which you can use these words or these structures.
Mm-hmm. I'm unlearning how to work the buttons on my phone, because there's swipe gestures now, and there were different swipe gestures to what was on the previous update, and I'm having a real tough time with it. It's really horrible. This is a totally different ballpark to what we're talking about with the reel, but yeah. And you mentioned that there's people who have been disagreeing. I read this in the disclaimer of Ngahapa Reo, which claims that some people might not agree on some of the assertions that you and Horner make throughout the book. Have you received many petitions of disagreement or complaints or queries from those who might disagree, and what do the disagreements typically revolve around?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the book's only really been out there for the last 3 to 4 days. I mean, it was released on Monday, and so we have, you know, there hasn't been a huge opportunity for readers to date to critique and to analyse exactly what's in the book, and we suspect that that may happen a little bit more in the coming weeks. But we're pretty confident in most of the errors that have been put down, and I guess the what we did want to do is we wanted to stimulate some of the discussion around the progression of the language. Via, you know, including certain errors that may be considered more appropriate and more accepted in modern day Māori. And so we wanted to put a bit of a mixture in there, because there are some errors that have been put in the book, and the large majority of them are just that, they're errors, right? And there's a right way and a wrong way, and there's normally an applicable rule that you can apply to that error. But on the other hand, you also have you've also got some more murky ones, I guess, where it's not quite black and white. And so we've still decided to put those in there, but in the hope that that may stimulate some of the discussion around how we might see the language progressing, bearing in mind that it will be for, you know, the younger generations, such as those, you know, students coming through through university and learning the language. Ultimately, in time, it will be for that generation to decide what we accept and what we don't accept. So we've hoped that by putting it down in a book like this and a resource like this, that it'll be picked up and stimulate some of that discussion.
Have you and Horner reached out to education organisations like Te Wānanga or Aotearoa to kind of put the book in place for people who are studying the language newly?
Yeah, absolutely. And Horner and I are actually graduates of Te Wānanga Aotearoa's master's program. We're both in the same cohort over the last 2 to 3 years, called Te Tohu Paerua o Te Reo Kairangi, Masters in Māori Language Excellence. And we've been fortunate that Te Wānanga Aotearoa actually picked up the release of the book and has publicised it through Te Wānanga Aotearoa's channels over the last few days. So we've been very fortunate in that sense. And I guess we're just, you know, we're just hoping that if it is deemed to be a useful resource, that other wānanga around the country, both, you know, Māori wānanga and more mainstream, you know, universities, might pick it up as a useful resource in their teaching and their courses. But that wasn't necessarily the goal of putting Ngahapa Reo out. It wasn't to say, hey, we want all the universities to pick it up. It was more to say, you know, hey, here's a resource that might be of help to all Māori language speakers, in the hope of, increasing the correctness and the fluency of their language.
Now, you mentioned earlier about the influence on the English language on Te Reo Māori. Do you think online reo resources like, like Te Aka reify those errors, or is Te Aka pretty good?
Te Aka is very, there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with Te Aka and any of the papakupi or the dictionaries that are available online. I mean, Te Aka is the most common dictionary, I guess, but as you become more and more competent, I guess, in Te Reo Māori, you'll start to find other resources that may complement what Te Aka provides, and provides a different, you know, there may be other papakupi or dictionaries that provide a slightly different view on a word or a context in which words can be used. And so I guess ultimately you've got to investigate all those different channels and come to your own kind of conclusion on what you think's appropriate and what you don't think's appropriate. But at the same time, I guess we don't want to get to a point where we become so analytical about the language that we speak that it actually paralyzes us.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we'd probably call analysis paralysis. So, I don't, you know, we want to, you kind of want to find a happy medium where, you know, the way we're speaking is correct and it flows and all of those things, but it doesn't get so, you know, we don't become so analytical about it that it troubles and it paralyzes how we speak.
Yeah, it destroys communication. Well, actually, you're supposed to use it. You know, like that kind of like annoying nerd vibe.
Absolutely.
But does the influence of English pervade things such as like AI or Google Translate? Do those services kind of interrupt the correctness of the kupu?
At the moment, I would probably argue yes. Mm. And I guess that's partly because, you know, systems like AI systems or large language models like ChatGPT, Copilot, and through to translation softwares like Google Translate, they're often, you know, they're built on information that it's fed in. At the moment, they haven't been fed a whole lot of information or correct information in Te Reo Māori, and so that's impacting some of the results you may be getting from softwares like that. So it's not to say don't use it, and I think if, you know, for example, if someone does send you something in Māori and you don't quite understand what it means, you know, checking it into Google Translate to translate it into English will give you a general kind of view or vibe on what is being said and what it means, but I definitely wouldn't be using it for any sort of official communication or whatnot in Te Reo Māori. But yeah, I think in time we'll probably see that these language models and these, you know, AI softwares will get better and more accurate over time, and that can only help the revitalization, the progression of the language.
I really hope so. There's one specific question I wanted to ask you, and I thought it might appear in Ngā Hapa Reo, but it did not. It's when I was working for a ministry over the summer, I took the free Te Reo classes at the time, very beginner, and when we were doing days of the week, the tutor mentioned that there's kind of a disagreement among Te Reo speakers as whether to use the transliterations, so mane, ture, winere, or, you know, yoratu, rapa, rahorue. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I see that discussion, and it has happened, and in that sort of regards, I do tend to sit on the fence, and I think, you know, as long as it's clear and as long as it's understood, you know, we know what mane means, we know what ture means, we know what winere means, and yeah, they are transliterations of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But at the same time, I think, you know, people understand them. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we speak a language in order to be understood, right? And to communicate with people. So if that achieves that, then I've got absolutely nothing wrong with it. Mm. But that's not to say that we don't say rahina, rātu, rāpa as well. It's just that, you know, there are two systems or, you know, there are actually more than just the two of those, but those are the two kind of more common systems of, you know, days of the week that we use. And so I haven't really got personally, I don't have a problem with either of those being used, so long as we understand what day of the week we're referring to. That's the main thing.
For sure. I guess my tutor's point was like, when, like, days like Ratu and so on and so forth were being developed, they were being named after the stars, I believe. Mm-hmm. Ratu was named after, I think, Mars, which is Tu in Te Ao Māori, correct? The god of war. And the tutor was like, well, Tuesday isn't necessarily the day of war for me, so I'm not going to use that word.
But at the same time, others would argue, you know, with things like Rahoroi, which, you know, means, Horoi means to wash, you know, you would argue that Rahoroi or Saturday, you know, you don't necessarily just wash yourself on a Saturday, so, you know, you should probably wash yourselves every day of the week, so.
You'd hope so.
So I guess there's, you know, there's multiple ways of looking at it, but I think the discourse and the discussion is good. Mm-hmm. I think because anything that kind of gets Te Reo Māori out there and being discussed and spoken is generally a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the more of those types of discussions we have, the better. I just don't want it to get to a point where it becomes so, you know, we become so analytical about the language that it actually impacts the way we use it and our ability to communicate with one another. I think that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, I don't have a whole lot of time left on the program, but, you know, you're talking about anything that puts Te Reo Māori out there as a good thing. We have Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori coming up very, very, very soon on the 14th. It runs from the 14th to 21st of August. How are you going to be celebrating Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori?
Yep, so through our work we do, we run several initiatives in support of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, primarily for teachers in the schools, and so, you know, the focus of our Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori support for 2024 is actually on Te Reo o Te Rangatahi, or the language of the youth, and the language that young people speak, and I guess that highlights one of the things that, you know, in English we get all of these new idioms and whatnot popping up all the time. You know, and there's a certain language that young people speak that, you know, those, you know, of our parents and grandparents' age wouldn't even understand.
No.
And yeah. I guess in Te Reo Māori, that doesn't happen to the same extent. And that's partly because the number of speakers we have doesn't necessarily constitute the ability to develop a sort of a language like that is widely understood. And so what we're trying to achieve anyway through Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori in 2024 is to bring some of those more modern day usages and the types of language that young people use to the fore. So that's how I'll be celebrating Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori anyway.
Do you reckon they'll ever be able to translate Skibbity Toilet into Te Reo Māori?
No, I can't do that for you on the spot, sorry. Because it might get picked up and go widespread, and I don't want that to happen.
I think that would that would be a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program this morning to Aorangi. It was great chatting with you, my friend.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Alrighty, folks. That was Te Aorangi Murphy Fell talking about the new book that he co-authored with Horner Black, Ngaha Pareo. You can find it online at Paper Plus. You can find it at aotearoabooks.co.nz, at maimoa.nz. You can find it all over the place. Give Ngaha Pareo a Google and you'll find anywhere you can buy it. It's currently.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.